Southampton. Secondly, Will is sacked by Exeter, but is installed at Tranmere just days later. Number three, there's a five-way tie at the top of the Premier League between Man City, Chelsea, Sheffield Wednesday, Burnley and Man United, all on 24 points. Have you ever seen anything like it? And money, 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 Jim and Ollie have spent big to try and kickstart their respective Chelsea and Liverpool revolutions. Let's get down to the podcast and start with League Two. Joining me tonight are Kim and Fred. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So, looking at League Two, let's start with the big headline there. Temperamental Will has been sacked, and he's mysteriously ended up at Tranmere. I'm sure we'll find out why on Monday, but what's happening here, Kim?
Well, it's the inevitable, really. Whenever you look at Will's team, they tend to do well, and then just implode whenever it feels like it, it seems like. So it was bound to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's been 22nd for most of the season, and as soon as he's fired, they suddenly jump up a position, don't they?
Yeah, because the team was better than he had them playing, so I wasn't surprised when they were bouncing up and when he got sacked. And he's erratic at best, Will, so it's hard to see what his plans are, so it'll be interesting to see on Monday.
Fred, any idea how he's ended up at Tranmere?
Well, the only thing I can say is that it was not so unexpected that he left Exeter or was sacked. It was bound to happen.
Yeah, but look,
he won't stay at the club for more than 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, and if he tries to stay there, then look what happened. Cardiff are down that now in League Two, after his shambles start at Cardiff. So if you want to go bankrupt and you want to go down a point, Will.
Well, Morecambe is still hanging on in League Two.
Yeah, they are. They're middle of the table, really. 13th at the moment, after 17 games. So they're doing okay without him. So.
Okay, let's stop kicking Will while he's down and move on to Stuart. He's 8th in the table at the moment with Shrewsbury, and he appears to be the lower league king as he's taken yet another small club on the march in no time at all. What's his secret, Fred?
I think he has a talent for finding very good players for his league.
Yep.
Players that no one else seemed to find, like Barrichelli, or what his name was when he was
Barrichelli.
Sold. And other players.
What about you, Kim?
Well, I think he's the absolute opposite of Will. His calm is collective, and he studies the players, like Fred said. He seems to have an eye for the bargains, the lower league bargains, and he really enjoys playing a lot of games, so he wants to be down there, and he likes the challenge of taking a small club and making it into the top team. So he's done exceptionally well. He took Charlton from absolutely nowhere into the Premier League, and now he started again with Shrewsbury. So who knows? Maybe he'll take them up to Premier League and then do another club. So it's going to be interesting to see where Stuart ends up with that team.
Well, when he took over Charlton, they were 23rd in the table, and he took them all the way to the Premier League. But at Charlton, he had a team that's been in the Premier League, that has a big stadium, he's got all the infrastructure and facilities already in place. Shrewsbury are a much, much smaller club, probably a League 2 or League 1 at best division club. Can he really take them all the way up to the Premier League?
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at his Charlton days, he didn't spend a lot of money, really. He wasn't able to really have the club's effect because, they have a decent stadium and they had a decent squad from the get-go, but he had to work on it. And I think it's much down to his tactics, and that he doesn't spend money and just to spend money. He actually sells players just to keep costs down and stuff like that, so he looks after the club. So whenever you take over a club that Stuart's managed, you know that the finances won't be absolutely horrible, like whenever you take over a club that Ollie's been in charge of. So yeah, he leaves them in good shape.
Let's move on to Port Vale. Bottom of the table, lost three games, drawn four. Won three games, drawn four and lost 10 already. Another terrible season for Belly. Hang on a second, actually he's top and he's won 10 games and lost three. What's going on, Kim?
I have no idea. Maybe the Elon Hacker wizard or something. I think he's cheating. What do you think, Fred? I think he must be cheating.
So it's only November.
I think we should send some drug tests down Port Vale.
He was top of the league last season at this time too. Only 5 points down, and he will fuck it up in the second half of the season.
Well, this is Belly's eighth consecutive season in League Two, isn't it? Can he finally get out?
I honestly don't know. It took him a long while on FM10 to get going. I don't remember how many seasons we played on FM10, but he
22.
Only 22 seasons, and it took him 21 and a half seasons to get going on that. So, eight seasons might be too early for Lilo Belly. So, we'll just have to see, but at the moment it looks alright. It's still... He's 7 points clear of the last playoff spot. So, then again, it's only been 17 games, so it's not even halfway yet. So it's gonna be interesting.
Let's move on to the League One. The League Two champions, Joe, who are now in League One, in 20th position with Watford, struggling a bit, but he's started to pick up in the last few games. How do you see Joe getting on, Kim?
Well, yeah, the thing is that he's conceding too many goals, really, with Watford. I don't think he's managed to mould his team into the clogging side he wants to, because Joe is the clogger of the clan, no doubt. And he doesn't seem to score too many goals either, so I'm not entirely convinced that he'll do too well this season, but I think he's going to stay up. Whether or not that's not enough for his board, that's another issue. But hopefully he can manage to stay up and build from that next season.
Well, some fabulous insight there, Kim. Doesn't score enough and concedes too many. Mm-hmm. Wonder how you came up with that one. Fred, Paul, who finished second in the table last season in League Two, he's 11th in League One with Yeovil. Where do you think he's going, mate?
I said before that I actually think one of them can go up.
Well, it's going to be Paul then. not going to be Joe, no way.
No. Probably not Joe. He's already 13 points from playoff, so...
Yeah, and I cannot see Paul going up this season. His team is not up for it, I think. He's got some...
He has really good players on loan.
Well, he's 6 points off the playoffs, but he does have a game in hand, so if he wins that, he's only 3 points off.
Yeah, if he wins his game in hand, he'll move... Move a cup? No, he won't move a place, actually.
No. What about Johnny? Johnny's in 18th position with Chesterfield. Not played as much this season as he'd have wanted. He was the surprise package in League 2 going up by the playoffs. But is it surprising to see him ahead of Joe, Fred?
I don't honestly know. I don't know really where he stands.
He's in 18th position in the table, Fred, with three more points on the board than Joe.
I'll go out on a limb here and say that.
Honestly, I think Joe should be ahead of him.
Yeah, I'll go out on a limb here and say that if Joe doesn't finish above Johnny, I'll have to do something special for Johnny. Let's just put it that way. Because there's no doubt in my mind that Chesterfield will go down. And Watford will just... I think they'll move up to safety about round between the 10th and 15th, I reckon. Mid-table for Joe. And I think Johnny's gone down.
Well, bold predictions from you there, Kim. Well, if we move on to the Championship, and the League One champions, QPR, are in sixth position in the table in the Championship, and have been in the playoff positions all season long so far. I know it's only 17 games in, but are we expecting Fred for Gear to have back-to-back promotions?
I'm not surprised. QPR has the resources for it. Question is if Gear can.
Yeah, but do they have the manager for it? That's not the question.
Question is if Gear can do it.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced.
He's signed a lot and he's got some decent players in his squad.
Yeah, and
He's a peculiar one, isn't he, Kim? He's a two-time champion on FM10, the first win the league. But he's capable of spectacularly underachieving at times, isn't he?
Yeah, and if you look at his team now, he's reverted back to his familiar tactics on FM10, as he's struggled to find anything that's been working for him on FM11. So now he's back to his 4-1-2-3. Well, he's back to my 4-1-2-3, to be honest. So he's using that, and he's now scoring goals, but he's scored a lot of goals, to be honest, but he's also conceded a lot, so if he goes up with that team, he's going to have a really, really hard time staying up, that's for sure, because that team is nowhere near good enough, not by the quality or the tactics he's playing. They're not going to work in the Premier League, that's for sure.
Well, maybe he might not work in the Premier League, but can he get him up?
It's a long shot, but if he doesn't go up automatically, I don't think he will. I don't think he can do playoffs. To be fair, but if he go up automatically, that's it. That's his only chance, I think. But I can't see him making it this season. Maybe next, but not this season. I think it's a three-horse race there between Leeds, Charlton, and Blackburn or Blackpool.
Well, let's move on to the big league, the Premier League, and let's start with Fred. You've built a team last season, I think, Fred, on loan seasons, and midway through the season, you went into administration, you sold what few decent players you actually owned, and somehow you managed to patch your side up, cling on to second, and if it wasn't for that 10-point administration penalty, you would have actually won the championship outright.
Yeah.
Now you're in the Premier League, you don't have any funds, you didn't have any decent players coming in. I thought you'd probably go down for points.
I think I had seven players left that I considered for the squad.
Yeah. Well, I think it wasn't just me, but everyone thought you were going down with no points. But yet you're 11th in the table, aren't you, Fred? How on earth are you 11th, 8 points clear of safety? What have you done?
Well, I made sure to sign what I possibly could.
Oh, there's one explanation to that.
I found Darren Gibson, Monreal, Baiki. One more,
I'll tell you
Robinson.
The insight, Steve.
What?
I'll tell you the one thing that he's done that's consistent with his team. He's just kicking everyone off the park, Steve. He's the worst team in the league. He's got 4 red cards and like 20 yellows already. Just kicking everybody left, right and centre.
Yeah, I'm quite good at that.
Yeah.
I try to tone that down.
Whenever you're playing Fred, make sure that your best players have double padded shin pads, that's for sure.
Would it not be fair to accuse Fred of being a cheat, Kim? Because he went into administration, which means he was cheating on the rules, wasn't he? And then as soon as he's gone into administration, Wigan suddenly have some money, and he spent £17.5 million. He wouldn't have had that if he hadn't gone into administration. So is it just because he's one big cheat, Kim?
He's a typical Swedish cheat. So.
Well, I got the money when I went up, didn't I?
Yeah. Then they kick everyone off the pitch. He should have had 17 red cards already, but he's only managed four red cards in 13 games, Steve. That says it all. One of his players has been sent on, what, 22?
Not my player.
It's actually a lone player that's been sent on.
From Mike.
And 21 yellow cards. Third worst in the league, just Everton on 29 and Burnley on 22. That's worse than Wigan so far.
So well, let's move on to Mike. He's done quite well with Saints so far, but he seems to, I think, reach a natural level, something of a plateau, and he's not been able to take the team into that upper echelon of the Premier League. So do you think he's done the right thing in moving to Arsenal?
No, I think he's fucked up.
It's a bold statement, Kim. Why is that?
Because if you look at his side at Southampton, you know that Mike always signs, like, he signs players by the boatload. Steve, we talked about it on FM10, we talked about it on FM and the 11 as well, that he brings in boatloads of Brazilians or kids from all over the world, and he takes them, like, he takes these teams like 3, 4, 5 years to get gelled really and really hit peak form. So I think you could have seen the best of Southampton in the next 2 seasons, maybe 3, and he did get into European Cup last season. He finished 6th place in front of me on goal difference. So I think he's done himself a disastrous decision now, because now he's in Arsenal. They demand stuff, and he's got loads of money to spend. He can't bring anyone in until January. And I think it's going to find it much harder now, because the demands at a club like Arsenal is much higher. So he has to perform immediately, or he'll get the sack.
Well, Mike himself said that, unfortunately, due to the current state of the game, the current economic climate at Southampton, and the pure fact that Southampton can only attract an average of 26,000 fans through the gates into the stadium, it's his deepest regret that he had to resign, and he was effectively trying to imply that he outgrown Southampton, and he had to leave to take over the highest valued club in the Premier League, if not the world, and it was a job he couldn't refuse. Anything to add to that, Fred?
Excuses him.
I don't know. He could always sign all those players he had at Southampton.
Yeah, because the players he signed at Southampton, they would go to fucking Sheffield United, even the players he signed, because he signed 16, 15, 16-year-olds from all over the place, so they will go to whatever league club in the Premier League. So it doesn't matter which club he is when he's doing that. You know, Mike, he's buys 10 players for £1 million each. Then he managed to sell like 3, 4 of them for like 10, 15, 20 million, and he's set for a long time. So that's what he does, Mike. That's the way he makes money, and that's how he builds his team. But it takes a lot of time.
Well, I was chatting to Mike when he was trying to make his decision, and one of the things that Mike was saying was that on FM10 and so far on FM11, he buys a lot of players, he sells them on, and he's got a high turnover of staff, and he was considering adopting what he described as being my style of management, which was to by a young team and try to grow and nurture the same team by keeping them together and trying to then become a force to be reckoned with in seasons to come. But he felt he didn't have the opportunity to do that at Southampton because he would have to sell one or two of his best players just to break even financially.
Well, he doesn't.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there then, Kim.
No, he can't. He doesn't have to do that because I was able to make money with Huddersfield. They have a much lower standing than Southampton. So, so how he can say that when he's at Southampton is because he then either he spends too much money on the kids.
Well, it's that, Kim. He's a transfer addict.
Yeah, he is.
Well, if we move on to Jim. Jim's got Liverpool perhaps underachieving in seventh because he spent $250 million in the last 12 months. But then again, he's only 5 points off the top, although he has played a game more. So is it expected with so much upheaval in the last 12 months and only 13 games gone that he would be this far off the title? And is it possible we can expect to see Jimmy charge up the table this season? Fred?
No idea. I don't honestly know. It's so tight now. But it's, he's got to score more goals. Look at his goal difference. He's scored 16 goals in 13 games.
Yeah.
I think he's lucky to have that many points, considering he's...
Yeah, he is, but he doesn't concede goals too often. He's only conceded 10, so that's the second best in the league.
Yeah, but...
Only Man City have conceded less, so he's got... It's hard to do that on FM 11. It's hard to do those narrow wins all the time. You don't get a lot of 1-0 wins on FM on this version, I think. It's a lot more openly contested. And he, like Steve said, he spent a bucket load of money. So I think it's just going to take some time to get his squad gelled. And he's got a fair bit of players that I could see hitting peak form if I got my hands on them. So yeah, I think he's got a good side there, and I think he'll be a force to be reckoned with. So I can definitely see that top seven clubs, like it stands now, they can all challenge for those top four spots. But I think it's a two horse race for the league title this year between Nathan.
We'll come on to the title race a bit later, Kim. Well, if we move on to Kim's kids, as I like to call them, we've had Busby's Babe, Fergie's Fledglings, and now we've got Kim's kids at Newcastle. You were leading the table quite early on, Kim, a couple of occasions, and then slipped back with a few unexpected results. Now you sit 4 points off the pace. Is this because you got such a young and inexperienced side, or can you expect a bit more from Kim's kids this season?
A bit of both, I think. I started the game. I started this season in really, really good form. I won. I think I won 12 games in a row in all competitions, including a 9-2 win in the league against Blackburn, and I hammered Man United away 3-0 in the first game and stuff like that. So I've shown really good promise, but then again, I had a 5-0 drubbing at home to Oliver. It was shocking. And it seems like that when my kids and my team, when they first start, when they play the big teams, they just look really scared and they just get bullied. So I'm not quite sure they're ready yet. I think we're seeing the new Newcastle team here coming through, and I have good hopes that my team will continue improving, and hopefully we can maybe challenge for a top four this season.
Well, Fred, what about the team sat in third at the moment, joint top, Sheffield Wednesday? Good season for them last season, finishing fourth against the odds. And with a small squad, you'd expect, surely, with Champions League football, for them to drop down the table this season, but it's not happened. Any idea why that is?
Sheffield Wednesdays. I think they have a they have a young squad that has had years to grow together. And I think it's sad. I think that's the big.
Do you think it's familiarity to other teams? What, familiarity and experience despite young ages?
Yeah, they're just more gelled.
Seems like there's a really good squad harmony in that in your team, and I think that you realise early, well, not too early, but when you finally found your tactic, Steve, that you really bedded into that tactic and you worked on that and you found the players that suited your style of play, and you bought the players that you need, not names, like big names, that just for the names you just bought players that would fit into your tactics, and you have a good mix of young talent and experienced players, so I can see that team going forward. But I think I do agree that you overachieved last season, and you should be over the moon by finishing in the Champions League places and done really well in the Champions League so far, and it's setting you up good financially as well. So yeah, I think you'll be challenging this season as well. But yeah, your squad looks thin, so I'm hoping you don't have too many injuries, especially up front, I think. Or I can see you having problems. But what do you say about that situation yourself?
Well, I've got other tactics in reserve, Kim, so if I've got injuries up front, I'll just play one up front. Well, if we move on to Wally, if we talk about Jim having a bit of upheaval because he spent so much money, Ollie spent £176 million in the summer alone in the space of probably 3 or 4 weeks, but yet he's in second position and he's had a dramatic instant impact at Chelsea. How on earth is his team gelled sufficiently that he's mounting a league title challenge, Fred?
I think it's... for all, it's just instant success. Spend as much money as you possibly can, and then he makes it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
wasn't just like that from 10 too.
Well, he signed.
Except for the fact that he never actually even won the league with Manchester City, but
no, he didn't.
But they did have a decent squad when he came there, but no doubt needed rejuvenation, and what he did, just like, okay, what do I need? And he basically needed a new team, so he went up and just bought really, really top quality players, and you know, as well as I do, that top quality experienced players, they cost a lot of money now.
Now, if we move on to Nathan, he's just lost 4 games all season last year. One in the League Cup, one in the Champions League, and he wasn't there for that game. That was a semi-final. 2 in the league, one of which he wasn't actually there for. So just one league game that he was actually in control of. The season before, he was personally unbeaten. Man City losing all the games before he took over. And he just lost the Champions League final on penalties and an FA Cup semi-final in extra time. And yet this season, he's already lost a few. What's going on, Kim? Has his aura of invincibility finally gone?
Yeah, I think so, because now you see the other managers in the clan. We've now got decent and really good squads now that we can actually challenge him. But because before, like last season and before that, when it was Man City and when it was Nottingham Forest, he had like miles ahead of us, and it was miles ahead of like the likes of Man United and then the other teams, because they haven't improved their squads, and you see Arsenal down the mid-table, Liverpool being in the shit. So he's just had a monopoly almost with the amounts of cash he's had at Man City, so he can just go out and spend like 200 million on 3-4 top world-class players. So yeah, it's like a car race, and he's started like a lap in front of us, Steve, and now we've finally been able to get up at least just behind him. There's still a couple of car lengths behind him, I think, but it's looking better. So hopefully, I don't think anyone would be able to shift him down from the top spot this season, but I don't think he can win next season, to be honest. I think he'll be shifted down next season.
Well, what do you think the future is for Nathan then, Fred? Is he now going to spend and try and buy an even better team? Is he even going to be able to have free rein to sign better players? Or are Ollie, Mike and Jim, who are now at Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool, are they going to be able to compete with him in the market and stop him buying the players he wants?
Well, as long as they finish up there, they will be able to compete with him for players. Even though he has what seems to be an endless amount of money, I think they will have enough of money to actually compete for players.
Well, that's an easy question.
I think he might go desperate in the Jan window if he doesn't find himself at some point clear.
Well, I think it's.
And I wouldn't be too surprised if he can see a sacking sooner.
I think it's an easy one to answer, Steve, because Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal, they have loads of money now. But if they don't contest for the title, they'll get sacked. It's that easy. So if you don't do well, you won't be able to spend the money. So the only way you'll be able to spend the money, Steve, is that if you finish in the at least the top. For Man City, I think it's only the top two places the board can tolerate.
Probably.
I think you can be sacked if you finish third. I think you'll be sacked if you don't win the Champions League or something.
Well, an interesting observation that I've made is if you look at Man City, the game reveals that he's actually, I think, spent his entire transfer budget and doesn't have a penny left to spend unless his club actually put a load of money in because of the way that the club is rating his finances. I don't actually think he's got much money in the bank to spend at the moment.
No, but he's got cheeks they don't have money, Steve. They just have oil pumps that just pumps money just right into his pockets. So,
yeah, but there's a difference between having money in your balance and having money in your transfer budget.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's just cash injection and all of a sudden he's got 200 million on his balance. So, he doesn't need to have to worry. He can just spend with Man City
I think the indicator for me is that Man City might have a big balance, but they don't have a big transfer budget at the moment. That's the way I'm reading the situation.
Yeah, I think you're right there, because he's also spent a lot of money this season, Nathan. But come January, I think he'll get a cash injection, so he can spend some more. If he sees that he needs to spend something, or he think he might have to, I think he will. So don't be surprised if you see Man City spending money in January. And I wouldn't be all too surprised if you saw Arsenal, Liverpool spend a lot of money and Chelsea as well in the January window. And don't be surprised if you see mad wages coming up in those teams now, because they will be competing for sure for the same players.
Well, if we move on to another point, seems now that the excitement in the clan is building to a crescendo, with a number of clan members now challenging it right at the top of the table, or at least looking capable of doing so. So, Kim, do you not think it might have been better if we started a clan as we did last season, all in the Premier League, at the big clubs?
Well, maybe, maybe not. Because what do you do then if you get sacked? Because if you all start, when we are 12, 13, 14 people, that starts a clan, there will be a massive gap if somebody starts, like, with Manchester City and someone has to start with, like, with the likes of of Aston Villa or something, something mediocre like Everton. But there'll be massive difference, and if you don't get the results immediately with a club like Man United or City at the first season, yeah, you'll be sacked, and with the rules, and then you'd have to drop to a really low team or drop a division. So I think it would be a really tough challenge if we all started in the Premier League. So, but yeah, I think it would be fun if we all started with the top teams. But I do like the challenge of taking a little lesser side and taking them up to be a bigger side, as I did with Hull, and I was doing with Huddersfield and Newcastle on this game. So I'm not going to go any bigger side than Newcastle at this moment, not in the Premier League at least.
What do you think, Fred?
I thought it would be fun to see all the big Sugar Daddy teams banned.
Or do you think it's better that you should have to start with a Huddersfield, a Southampton or a Sheffield Wednesday and then earn the right to manage Manchester City, Chelsea, Man United or Arsenal?
Maybe. I don't fancy it that much, personally.
I, for one, me personally, I think it would be better for the game as a whole if we banned the really big clubs, that like the top 5-6 in the Premier League for eternity, that you couldn't apply for them. Because
the thing is that the AI is hardly puts up any resistance when all the top teams have been taken over by humans.
Yeah. Because if you do well with a big club, then you do well and you have loads of money, and it's tougher that you get so much. It's so much harder that to keeping a job at a club like City or Man United. But it's easier in a way that you'll have such a much bigger ground, and you'll have so much more money to spend, and you'll have a much higher reputation at the other club. So you can maybe choose and pick your poison, really. So you can just take all the kids you want, and you can challenge for the big players like you couldn't with a Sheffield Wednesday or a Huddersfield or a Southampton. So if we banned the big clubs, maybe the AI would put up more of a challenge in the long run, and not only be left out of the crowd really at season 8, because
well, I'd argue, Kim, for example, on our game now, Tottenham, 14th in the league, really struggling, and you'd say they're not a big club, they're not one of the recognised big five, but yet Tottenham, we know on this game, have been taken over by a tycoon, they're equivalent, maybe of a lesser extent, but they're equivalent of Manchester City, and if a human took them over, Tottenham could get a new ground, could easily end up playing in front of 70,000 fans. They already have a high turnover. They already have high season ticket prices. They've got massive amount of money in that club. That club could easily, managed by a human, become the equivalent of a Manchester City, or maybe even bigger than them, because Man City don't have the infrastructure that Tottenham do, become an Arsenal or even a Man United.
Yeah, well, the AI have been really disappointing, I think, I have to say, so far on FM11. Because as soon as Nathan took over Man City, it was done. I don't think the AI will win the league ever again, to be fair. We now have the top three, and we now have, what, five of the top seven in the league, with Arsenal and Wigan in 9th and 11th. So of the top 11 side, we have all the Premier League clan managers in that top 11. So I cannot see the AI challenge us from now on until we finish FM11 clan game, I think. And
Fred, how can you, Gaia, or those just coming through just behind you and Gaia, because you're the next set, aren't you, behind the top chasing human managers, how can you break through the monopoly of the big human managers, or is it not possible to do that now at this stage of the game, 8 seasons in?
That's a hard question. The problem is that when we go up, we don't have all these youngsters that everyone else has. We don't have those top-rate youngsters. And even if we're going to go out and sign top-rate youngsters, someone else of those big teams will probably take him before us or overbid us. Mm-hmm. The only chance I really see is if you can get a bigger job, or maybe someone gets sacked in the top and you get that job.
So you think the only way you can crack the top four fed is if Man United or Tottenham or Aston Villa become available and you get through that way?
Not maybe the only way, but it would definitely take years before I can mount a real challenge, I think, with Wigan.
Well, do you think, Kim, because seeing as this is Fred's first season in season 8 in the Premier League, when you were there after, I think it was 4 seasons, you were on the pace pretty quickly. Is it much harder now for Fred in season 8 than it was for you in season 4?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because now there's a lot more of us clan members in the top of the Premier League that it was when I came into the Premier League. So yeah, it's a harder league to compete in now, but then again, it's easier to maybe have a chat with a fellow clansman and say, hey, we're both into this player, could you maybe have me have him, or if you buy him, can I at least have him on loan, like have a chat with him. You can't have a chat with the AI about signing a player and letting the AI have letting go of a player for you. So I think that's, in that sentiment, it's easier. And
well, the AI don't really go for new gens, though.
Yeah.
You do on FM11, Fred. If you look carefully, on FM11, they snap them up a lot quicker than FM10. There's some players that Kim will tell you that we found who've already moved clubs by the time we find them.
Yeah, and especially to Eastern Europe, it seems like the Russian clubs have swooped up a lot of Brazilians like they do in real life. Yeah.
So, Fred, can you see yourself being on the phone to Jim anytime soon, asking him to do you a favour?
Yeah, I think the way to go when you break into the Premier League now is that you have to establish your team pretty quickly and just build a foundation of decent players you find on free transfers and stuff like that, and just try to hang on the first season. And when you start getting the Premier League money in, you have to start signing youngsters immediately. You start already in the Championship, whether or not you get the world-class youngsters, but you have to start early so that when you get into the Premier League, you'll have a couple of youngsters coming up already, and you can start playing them and maybe selling them on. And I think the way to go is challenge for the cups, especially the League Cup. If you get a couple of good runs, maybe a win there, get some European games, and make a name for yourself, and either get a new job or get your reputation and your money up, so you can spend more on the youngsters and build a team like Mike did on FM10. But
well, cheers for those wise words, Kim. We're running out of time there. If anyone listening to this podcast wants to ask any questions or whatever, then please leave a comment in the comment section. Cheers, guys. I'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers. Yeah, right.